Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
1-0. Swing and a liner, center field. Hicks coming on, and he makes the grab. Ball game. And the Yankees win it 5-0. New York takes a 3-2 lead in this best-of-seven ALCS.
Yeah, there you have it. If you haven't heard it enough already and heard enough about it, we know exactly where we're at in the series now as the Astros and Yankees return to Minute Maid tomorrow night, 7:08. First pitch, Verlander, Severino, Yankees up 3-2.
What? I'm sorry, I wasn't listening.
Okay, great.
Because I know we have Sigmund Bloom coming up at 2:30, and I was looking at my fantasy teams. And I saw that I had not gone out and gotten a replacement for Aaron Rodgers yet. And so I just did that. And I had to replace Aaron Rodgers with Carson Palmer on my team.
I wouldn't say that's too bad.
I'm surprised he was available. He's eighth at his position in fantasy, so it's not that it's not egregious.
Is that one of our leagues?
No, that's my Houston Sports and Stuff league.
Okay.
Yeah,
so I got hit with the Aaron Rodgers injury bug as well.
Oh, and it wasn't a bug.
I know.
Like, it was disease.
I say that very tongue-in-cheek.
Okay.
But I'm literally the only person in the league who doesn't have a second quarterback.
Same.
And the only available quarterbacks are Jared Goff, Josh McCown, Jacoby Brissett now. I actually did pick up Andrew Luck, and then apparently he is getting re-shut down for the rest of the season.
Operation shutdown.
Going to have to drop him.
Yeah, you're screwed.
Try and pick somebody.
He's not going to play the rest of the year.
No,
let's be honest.
But I was hopeful.
Yeah, if they're
that'd
one
be a good signal
they're
question
one,
too.
Yeah, they're one game out now, but because of the fact that Brissett continues to play better and better, but also because if they keep fading. You might as well take the best draft pick you can. And why would you put him out there if you don't have a chance to make the playoffs? Because you're looking long-term with this guy.
Yeah.
And they say, the doctors that they talked to about this type of injury with the shoulder said it takes a full year. He had the surgery in January. It's not going to be a full year till after the season's over anyway, or deep into the playoffs, which they're not going. So you might as well just sit him down.
I'm with you, I guess. You know what I mean? You could sit him down and maybe hope for a higher draft pick and go out and get some line help.
I mean, the NFL is a business, so you want to protect your assets.
Yeah, but don't you want to win too? You don't want to lose.
True.
You don't want to lose the fan base.
I keep going back to
it is the AFC South.
But I think you're going to lose more of your fan base if you put him out there too early, like what the Titans did with Mariota, and he may or may not be, he wasn't 100%. So if you put him out there early and he gets hurt even worse, then you're going to alienate more of your fan base doing that, I think.
Here's the thing. And obviously, yeah, I go back to what Keenan McCardell and Travis Johnson said when they used to join us. As much as we think winning matters that much to these franchises, the thing that matters most is them making money. So that has to factor in. As much as we think the passion and every decision should be made with the thought of winning, sometimes as long as the long-term health of the franchise is based on your franchise quarterback, and if you put him out there too soon, especially when your team's going nowhere and he gets hurt, now you're really screwed in terms of overall merchandising and everything else too. But I think it factors in more than the general public wants to contemplate it, and it makes sense from a business perspective, but it doesn't make the fans any happier if he's not going to take the field.
Oh, no. No, right? They're not. Yeah, I'm with you. All right, well, that's my sad fantasy thing that I
have
to
do. I was
going to
say, I've got three quarterbacks, really good ones, in one of our two leagues that I'm willing to give up for someone that could at least contribute to a victory for me. But evidently and unfortunately, it wasn't one of those leagues.
I wish I could trade you. That'd be nice. But if you have fantasy questions, 713-780-3776 for Sigmund. Go ahead and get on now. He's going to be here at 2:30, but you can get on the line and just you could be like Gilbert. You could be our show's Gilbert and just wait on hold. It's going to be a short segment.
Take a nap.
Yeah. He finally dropped off.
Do whatever. Snore. But get your text in 713-780-3776 or call and wait on hold, because I'm telling you right now, it's first come, first serve, and we've got a ton of texts and a ton of tweets already in. So we always go to the phone lines first. It's the way to guarantee your question get answered.
And if you haven't heard Sigmund before, then you have no idea what you're about to engulf in, because this guy is blow and go. And yep, he will get them all done, but we do it in a rapid-fire fashion, so that's why we try and get them all ahead of time. So if you can help us, we'll help you. Back with a whole lot more. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Classical, too intelligent to be radical. Masterful, never irrelevant, mathematical. Here's some super souvenirs for all the years.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I'm telling you what, we're back on The Usual Suspects. One segment before we get to Simon Bloom.
Sigmund Bloom, sorry.
I was just reading this tweet.
Uh-huh.
You started this whole firestorm with this toilet thing.
Right.
But G on Twitter, G the never nude, don't want to get into all that. But his tweet was the best. Last time I drank tequila, went to sit on the John and didn't notice both seats were up, broke the back of the toilet. That is a, shall we say, very high velocity approach to the toilet if you were coming in. You're coming in hard and fast.
Man. I've done that before, though. Like, late at night, you go to sit down, and the seat is up, and whoopsie. That's not a fun feeling. That's that feeling like you're falling. You know what I mean? Because you're expecting it to be closer than it is.
You
wouldn't think that distance would matter. But, yeah, now I see why women complain about leaving the toilet seat up, because it'll get you. So I know you've seen these commercials, and Tyler, you may have seen them as well, but I'm seeing all these commercials during NBA on TBS. And maybe during the baseball, too.
I tweeted you.
Huh?
I tweeted you one of the commercials to ask, are you fired up and ready?
For the rap battle stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see that.
I did.
I'm seeing it, and one, it's a ripoff of Lip Sync Battle.
Yep.
Because that was a bit on Kimmel, I believe, that they're now doing. And then this rap battle is a ripoff of, who's the chubby dude that does car karaoke or whatever, carpool karaoke?
James Corden.
Yeah.
James Corden.
So they do these rap battles, which is nothing new.
I think Nick Cannon had that on his show.
Then they used to do it on MTV. Well,
but that
was also a ripoff of actual rap battles.
Right. So it's not, I mean, nobody's blazing any trails, but this is just celebrities. So they're going to start doing it. So I had the idea. What I wanted to do was, originally I was going to have us rap battle, but I know Joel would never do that. So I was like, you know what? Let's get the interns. I think we should make the interns rap battle and for dominance and supremacy. And I wanted to start it today at 2:00, but we don't have enough interns. And we're not going to have enough tomorrow either. So what we'll do, I think, is Monday we'll draw names on who's going to match up with who. We're going to have at least 4 interns here on Monday. So we'll draw names on what the matchups are going to be in round one. So at 2:00 on Monday, we'll do a rap battle. And then we'll let the people, the listeners, vote on via Twitter who wins and advances to the finals on Tuesday, which also happens to coincide with the first show of Battle Rapper.
Well, what's it called? Sponsoring the show, then?
It's called Drop the Mic or whatever. I don't know. I really just want to hear Trey battle rap somebody. That's really what I'm hoping for out of all this.
He will participate, you believe. Really,
he's not going to have a choice.
A little bit of breaking news. Sorry to
go ahead.
Derail you. Alex Cora will reportedly be named the Red Sox new manager after the ALCS.
Yeah, I heard that and read that going
good
into today's show. Very deserving, but he was the hot name out there in terms of all the open managerial positions.
Yeah, definitely the front runner. What do you think this does to the clubhouse?
Nothing.
The young guys called him AC, but they love him.
Yeah,
he's part of the game.
Yeah.
It's part of the game. You know, what my early guess is at who replaces him? Beltran.
Now,
next year.
I could see that.
Because they're not going to pay him again $15 million a year. He knows the game. All the young guys, again,
they look up to him.
He's experienced.
Performed to this level.
I think you want Beltran to get some seasoning as a coach before that. You probably have him in the minors for a few years if that's the plan.
We'll see. We'll see.
That's kind of what Cora did as well. But I think good for him, and I don't think it affects anybody or changes anything or any attitudes, because every one of those guys at some point in their career had to get a chance and an opportunity to move up. And so I don't think anybody would want to hold that guy back or begrudge him the opportunity. I mean, hell, there's only so many jobs like that. You know what I mean? There's only so many managerial jobs to be had. Was it 30 teams in the majors? That, you're happy for the guy. You have to be.
You have to
and
be.
Then you
otherwise,
go out and
kick
his ass.
Otherwise, you're in the wrong line of work, because the same reason why these guys have been so loyal to you to help you is the same reason you should be loyal to them to get them to where their ultimate goal is to someday have that kind of position as well. And that's how you scratch each other's back and you do things the right way. And I'm happy for him. He deserves it. It will be interesting for all those people that are questioning everything AJ Hinch does in terms of who he finds as a replacement, because that's such a vital role. That's someone that should have a ton of major league experience, that should know the rules, that should know strategy, that can be there as a sounding board for AJ Hinch. So we'll see how that goes. The other thing that I found interesting was the fact that Brad Ausmus already turned the Mets down because he thought it was just so disjointed of a situation right now, which I understand. Brad Ausmus is one of those guys that's always been known as a guy that really knows the game, that can strategize the game, think the game, and that he'll find another job and he'll probably have the opportunity to pick from that suits him best. The other name that turned down the Mets job that I didn't put in the same category, Robin Ventura. Another ex-player, surprised when he got the White Sox job initially, but the fact that Robin Ventura is turning down jobs, last time I checked, bro, you're not the next Sparky Anderson or, you know, any of the insert name here. You got a job, luckily, because you used to play in that organization, but you, Ryan Sandberg, those are the kind of guys, you snatch up any job they offer you, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, there's only so many to go around. I wouldn't be turning anything down, but you know, it's one of those things where if you don't need the money and you don't need the work, then you don't have to worry about it, and you can pick and choose, and maybe something else comes along. But usually a team that's struggling, that has a change at manager, there's gonna be issues. That's part of the problem, right? That's part of you picking it up. Not every team is gonna be the Red Sox, where other than just needing a change of pace because they're not getting it done past a certain point, everything else is fine, which is the case for the Red Sox.
Yeah, and like I said, look, there's a guy that even when he played, people gave him credit for being one of the smartest players in the league, a guy that, you know, played the game the right way, and he's paid his dues.
Yep.
I wish him all the best. I think it's a great opportunity for him.
We did get this one fantasy question from your friendly neighborhood beer salesman. Who would you start tonight, Naughty Schoolgirl or Latina Housemaid? All right, that's the wrong. You're not.
But when you're breaking it down, Barry, which way are you going?
I'm going Latina Housemaid.
I think I am too.
Naughty Schoolgirl just means you have pedophile tendencies.
Well, Tyler, we know now. All right, so that'll
be kind of biased, though. Aren't you married to a Latina?
Yeah, she's not a maid.
Well, both of you are, actually.
Yeah.
At one point, she was a schoolgirl. So, I mean, she's covered.
Did she wear the uniform, the little plaid skirts?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know. But, yeah.
I don't know. Whenever she I picture a Latina housemaid,
yeah,
it just doesn't really do
didn't
much.
Do it for you?
Depends on what the outfit is, Tyler.
Well, and it depends what's filling in the outfit.
True.
What are you picturing? Do you have some sort of weird
place for a vacuum cleaner
fetish that we need to know about?
No, I'll pull up a picture and I'll show you.
Okay.
While you're pulling things during the break, you should also probably pull up the Halloween ball that's coming up. The what is it? Leather and lace ball.
Yeah.
Woo!
I'm excited
that
about
we're doing the giveaways for the girl that did the what's the burger?
Charlotte McKinney.
Yeah. My goodness, Tyler, worth a look. Just letting you know. She's going to be there as the mistress of ceremonies, I believe. Okay, we have Sigmund Bloom coming up next. It's going to be a fantastic opportunity for you to get all of your pressing fantasy football questions out of the way. So, again, now's the time to call. We've taken the texts. We've taken the tweets. Now we're worried only about the phone call. 713-780-3776. As Barry said, you call, you get in first. That's just the way we do it. That's the HRNP listener line. 713-780-3776. Back with Sigmund Bloom in just mere minutes. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.
The
Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on the Usual Suspects at the midway point. 90 in the rearview mirror, 90 in the windshield. It is Tyler in for Nick, Barry and myself, and of course...
I'm watching you.
The
don't you do it.
Most anticipated segment of the week is always... when the distinguished fantasy football expert Sigmund Bloom joins us, because as we've told you, shy of a machine gun, this guy can rapid fire with the best of them, and he is here for the sole purpose of answering your fantasy football questions, so you look like a hero for at least 1 week in your fantasy leagues. Therefore, we bring him to you because we are all about the full season of giving, which is 12 months a year.
Sigmund, what's up, man?
Distinguished fantasy expert is an oxymoron.
I like it. I like that you owned it. What's the deal injury wise? I know you like to wait towards the end, but yeah. You got Winston is questionable. Delanie Walker is questionable.
Yep.
Lots of injuries out there. Give us the latest.
Make sure you have Derrick Henry in your lineup. It's looking like DeMarco Murray's status is going to be up in the air. There's a lot of players we're watching here. Kelvin Benjamin's status is up in the air. Devin Funchess can end up being a good play against Chicago. Right now, it looks like Robbie Anderson's status is up in the air for the Jets going down to Miami. We're also actually watching Josh Norman's status because if you own Alshon Jeffrey or Carson Wentz, you're concerned about that on Monday night. So the Friday practice reports often give us the clarity here. Marquise Lee's also banged up, so Alan Hearns could actually be useful this week in Indianapolis.
We've heard Aaron Rodgers might not play this week.
Yeah, Brett Hundley's going to start, but the offensive line's banged up. You don't want to go to Hundley. You might keep Jordy Nelson and Devontae Adams in your lineup as a wide receiver three, let's say, but with offensive line in trouble. I actually think Hundley played pretty well concerning the circumstances, but the circumstances won't be good again this week.
All right, well, let's do it. We said that the phone lines get preference over text and Twitter, so let's do that. Jonathan, you got a QB question for Sigmund. What's up?
Hey, guys. I wanted to see, what do you think Matthew Stafford's trade value is?
Probably little. I mean, maybe you can hit up the Aaron Rodgers owner if there's not much on the waiver wire. I will say, I guess it's a decent time to trade him because he came off of that game against New Orleans with massive numbers because of garbage time. So I would maybe dangle him in front of the Aaron Rodgers owner, see what you can get.
Another QB question from Mario on the phone. Mario, go.
Hey, Sigmund, I actually have two, if that's okay. My first, yeah. I have Tom Brady and I have Carson Wentz. I like both matchups. Kind of wondered where to go from there. Mm-hmm. And I also have a running back dilemma. I got McKinnon, Kamara, and Doug Martin. I don't know which one's going to be left out in the cold. Maybe you have some advice on those two positions. Thanks.
Sure. With Brady over Wentz, and hit up that Aaron Rodgers owner to see if you can get something really good for Carson Wentz to upgrade your lineup elsewhere. The running back question comes out of the scoring. McKinnon's in either way. I would go with Kamara if you get a point per reception. Doug Martin if you don't. Even with Jameis Winston, now they might ride him some more.
Josh, for the running back question. Josh, you're up.
How's it going, fellas? I have a PPR league, Derrick Henry or Isaiah Correll. I know it ain't the best running backs, but hey.
Yeah. No problem. No, Derrick Henry could still be a league winner, and I think even if DeMarco Murray plays, he'll be limited. Henry's the easy call here. If you have Henry, make sure he's in your lineup.
713-780-3776 if you want to get your call in for Sigmund Bloom. All right, let's go to the text line. Should I trade Alvin Kamara for Adrian Peterson and Sterling Shepard in a PPR league?
I'm sorry. How many out of those?
Straight up that trade, Alvin Kamara and Sterling Alvin Kamara for Adrian Peterson and Sterling Shepard.
I think you're probably going to go with Peterson here. I was surprised, shocked even, what he did last week. But Arizona's using him the right way. They're giving him a lot of work in a power running scheme. And while Kamara still has some upside, Peterson is realizing it right now.
All right, Justin's got a couple questions for you. A one running back league, C.J. Anderson or Doug Martin?
Go with Martin. Anderson has a good matchup, but I'm really confused by how they've been using him in Denver. I feel like it's kind of predictable now week to week.
All right, and then he said his flex, he's got Anderson, Doug Martin, Larry Fitzgerald, or Demaryius Thomas.
Demaryius Thomas is the pick here with Emmanuel Sanders out. I think he's going to get a ton of targets again.
Cousins or Newton?
Cousins against Philly, you have to throw a ton. I think Newton himself threw 52 times against Philly last week, so Cousins is a great play Monday night.
All right. Start two, Kamara, Ingram, and Duke Johnson.
Ingram and Kamara, because we avoid the Browns if we can.
Quick question for you, Sigmund, because it's been pressing. Andrew Luck, people have him on their bench,
yeah,
hoping that he'll play at some point this year. Is he done?
Yeah, let's let go of that dream this year. And even, you know, everybody except for maybe T.Y. Hilton. Yeah, Marlon Mack's an interesting play this week, but the Colts offense is going to stay stuck in neutral for the rest of the year. We're not going to see Luck this year.
Tom, you're up. What's up, Tom?
Hey, so I'm wondering, I've got Ty Montgomery, and I've also got, man, it just flipped on me, the other guy in Green Bay.
Jones.
And then I've also got Mike Williams, first flex spot in PPR. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd probably go with Ty Montgomery and hope, as with Brett dumping the ball down a lot against New Orleans pass rush this week.
Were you amazed at how much the Packers dropped as far as like power rankings, yeah, and so forth after losing Rodgers?
No. No, it's a quarterback-driven league, and of course, in fantasy football, a lot of value the players are hinging on quarterback, and this is probably the biggest drop. It's no disrespect to Brett Hundley. It's probably the biggest drop from starter to backup in the league, and, you know, it's derailed their whole season, and you have Jordy Nelson and Devontae Adams, guys like that. You're wondering what you have now.
All right, Craig B. on Twitter wants to know, Cousins or Alex Smith this week?
Cousins. You know, again, I expect Cousins to throw 40-plus times at least Monday night, and he's got the weapons to put up some points.
Corey on Twitter, PPR, Tevin Coleman or Jarvis Landry?
Jarvis Landry's been money, you know, just 6, 7, 8 catches every week and getting a touchdown. It's easy call in PPR.
Hey, Sigmund, are we starting Orleans Darkwa over DeMarco Murray?
Yeah, at this point, I would take Murray out of your lineup. I would go with anybody over DeMarco Murray. No matter what they say he's going to do, he could go out there and take one touch and then have to tap out. We're going to watch their personnel moves. They're talking about maybe promoting a running back from the practice squad, which would almost cinch that Murray won't play.
See, but a lot of people ready to dump out on Amari Cooper. It's been a rough, yeah, year for him so far, but Carr is back. Should people not press the panic button just yet?
I wouldn't press the panic. I mean, I might not play him this week. You get to see him tonight, and we'll see what happens. But I wouldn't cut him. I wouldn't be trading for him. And if somebody comes to me and is asking about him, I'd be open to trade offers.
All right, that's a good lead-in. Amari Cooper or Sterling Shepard?
Amari Cooper, just because Sterling Shepard's probably going to draw a number one corner, Richard Sherman, against the Giants.
All right, let's get back to the texts here. Amari Cooper, John Brown, or Marquise Lee in the PPR?
I like John Brown this week. He scored a couple of touchdowns each of the last 2 weeks, and against the Rams, they've got a banged-up secondary. He could have a good week.
Manny wants to know, Peterson or Jones from Green Bay?
Peterson. Yeah, Peterson. And Peterson's a top 10 or top 12 running back until we see that he's not at this point, because you could see him just come alive knowing that he's going to be – it's not just that he still has more left than people thought. It's that they're using him the right way, what they wouldn't do in New Orleans.
McKinnon or Cooks for a flex spot?
Cooks. I expect the New England against Atlanta game to have a ton of points. And McKinnon against a very tough Baltimore defense could have a lot less success than he's had the last few weeks.
Hey, Sigmund, one more. Funchess, Diggs, or Woods?
I don't think Diggs is going to play. That's another injury situation I should have addressed at the beginning. So I'll go with Funchess. It looks like Kelvin Benjamin's up in the air, and Carolina's playing Chicago. It would be a ton of targets for him from Cam Newton.
Thielen or Garcon in a flex spot?
Thielen just gobbled up targets last week, and I would expect that trend to continue. I like Garcon against Dallas, who I think can't go wrong with either one, but Thielen's hotter right now.
Mark Ingram, Derrick Henry.
That one's tough. If we know that DeMarco Murray's not playing, I'm going to go with Derrick Henry because we saw what he did at the end of the game last week. We know that Cleveland's going to be playing from behind, so Henry could get 25 or more carries in this game. Mark Ingram was great last week, but I don't know that the game's going to flip so easily to make him 100-plus yards and 2 touchdowns like he was.
713-780-3776. You got a couple of minutes left if you want to get on with Sigmund Bloom and get your fantasy questions answered. I'm going to ask you my weekly question for you. What's a good streaming defense for folks out there that maybe need some help?
Yeah, well, we've been talking about that New Orleans-Green Bay matchup a lot, and I think that that's one of the top picks. They actually have a good schedule coming up. They've had 3 good games in a row. It's really strange to think of the New Orleans defense as a good defense for fantasy football, but they have been in recent weeks. I would also say Pittsburgh at home against Andy Dalton looks good. I like Minnesota. I'm sorry. I like Minnesota against Joe Flacco. You always want to start the defense against Joe Flacco if you can. If Seattle was dropped during their bye, they get Eli Manning. And then, of course, Tennessee against Cleveland. And if Buffalo has to play Ryan Fitzpatrick, Jameis Winston's out, then they could be a good play. So there's a lot of good defenses to pick up.
All right. Wentz, Cam, or Ryan? That's from Justin in a PPR league.
Okay. We'll give Matt Ryan the go here. Every quarterback that has faced New England has gone over 300 yards. Five out of the six have had two or more touchdowns. We're going to give him a go.
Sit one. Kareem Hunt, Melvin Gordon, Mark Ingram, or McKinnon?
Yeah, Hunt and Gordon, those are the top two easy. I mean, Ingram and McKinnon are hot right now, but Hunt and Gordon are much more reliable week to week.
That is Sigmund Bloom from footballguys.com, the man that gets your questions answered, gets you ready for the night for Thursday night's game as well as Sundays. Sigmund, how can the folks get a hold of you, and what apps do you have out there available for people if they've got questions that didn't get answered?
Sure. Yeah, we've got the Waiver Wire Trade Dominator. We've got Lineup Dominator for lineup decisions. And I'm at Sigmund Bloom. I answer questions at the Football Guys message board on Sunday mornings. And good luck, everyone.
Sigmund Bloom, footballguys.com. Make sure you check out the website, check out the apps. I use their draft app all the time the last couple of years, and I do pretty well. So their apps are really good, and you get all their expert advice boiled down into one app. Couldn't be easier, it's real easy to use, and all the information in there is jam-packed. So if you got like trade questions, they have that Trade Dominator app. Like, should I trade two these guys for one of this guy? They'll get it all answered for you. Footballguys.com. Check it out.
Real good stuff, as always. I notice you don't call him Siggy.
Anymore. No, I don't.
You can, though.
I'm a grown-ass man, and I don't
last
do
time
that.
I checked, I'm not sure. But you do break toilet seats. Hey, all right, we're going to be back with a whole lot more. We'll get back to the regular usual suspects after we got the fantasy football out of the way. We still haven't talked about the Rockets yet, who are 2-0 and got a win at Sacramento. Was it a big win? No. But was it a win they might have lost in previous years? Maybe. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. Usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Tyler for Nick. As we continue to roll on with the big show, it's Barry, yours truly, Joel.
Hey, let's give something away, shall we? I haven't even looked at this. I don't know how this is going to go.
Brace yourself, kids. It's a Barry read.
Let's give away a $25 Raising Cane's gift card right now. You can win a $25 gift card to Raising Cane's and indulge yourself in one love. 24-hour marinated, hand-battered premium chicken tenderloins. Raising Cane's now has 24 locations in the Houston metro area to serve you. Visit RaisingCane's.com to find the location closest to you today. Mm-hmm. We'll take caller number 10, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Raising Cane's gift card for $25. Oh, that looks delicious, but thank you. Let's give a birthday shout-out to Brandon. What's up, man?
Brandon happy Strange, birthday. Happy birthday.
What are you, 21? You're just now legal to drink? Good for you, buddy.
Yep, the Chandler Parsons look is still working for you.
Going to go to Vegas and get some hooers and all that. Good for you, man. Whoa, hey, well, he's married. I just blew his cover. My bad.
I don't know what you're blowing, but you got that Raising Cane's read out of the way. That was fantastic.
That's right. You saw that? That was a professional.
I heard it. I didn't see it.
That was a professional job right there. I always worry about the copy. You have to. We've determined that you've got to read it ahead of time. Otherwise, you'll start saying words that don't make any sense.
Without question.
But that was well-written copy right there.
So we teased this before we got into all the fantasy football. But the Rockets got another win last night. They're 2-0. A lot of people say, so what? It was Sacramento. I say that was a game that they screwed around with and would have lost in past years simply because a lot of those games, when Chris Paul's not playing or when one of your best players isn't playing, but you're playing a team like Sacramento, you take them for granted. And then before you know it, a team gets momentum. It's their opener in Sacramento, and their season opener in their beautiful building. The fans were jacked up early, yet they got the win. I say, hey, it's better than years past, and they should be happy with that. The fact that they're 2-0 on this trip, when you looked at the schedule at the start of the year, I don't think anybody saw them coming out of Golden State, with the exception of you, saw them coming out of Golden State with a victory and going 2-0 on this first West Coast swing. good stuff early from the Rockets. I was impressed by that.
Eric Gordon is balling his ass off right now.
Yes, he is.
2 games in, I get it. It's only two, but I tell you what, he's put up 24 and 25 in the first 2 games, and they probably don't win either of these games without him putting up those numbers.
I wanted to Joe Madden last night. I don't know if you saw this part of the game or not, but the NBA officials are supposed to stop play whenever there is blood on the court or an open wound. Somehow, some way, and I don't know how he did it.
They even looked at it.
But did you see it?
They cut the skin off.
Man,
and
it was nasty. Yeah. I mean, it was bigger than like a half dollar.
He had got the floor burn in the previous game against Golden State, okay. If you were watching it. He had gotten a floor burn there, and then it looks like he did it again, same hand, same spot,
and
last night. Yeah, well,
it was almost like a blister that had popped.
Yeah, well, okay, so I think he got the burn at Golden State. I saw that because you could see him like looking at his hand and stuff, but he went ahead and played through it. But then last night, my guess is that it happened same spot, same location, which made it worse and deeper. And so whatever skin wasn't there, even more of it came off. They had to get the trainer to cut
the skin
off.
My man Keith Jones comes out with the scissors and starts cutting it off. And he's like, Keith was like, go tell the officials, he'll stop it. And Gordon was like, I already told them they're not stopping. I'm like, think about that going right on the ball. First of all, from Eric Gordon's perspective, you're inviting all the germs in the world into that wound.
That's exactly what I thought.
Yeah.
I know Terry was probably thinking the same thing if she was watching, but I was like, that's disgusting. That ball is gross. It's hitting the floor where their feet and their shoes and
everybody's
and
sweating on it.
The sweat.
You got to worry about like MRSA and staph infections.
So it's a shreddy ball and it's getting in an open wound, and that's not a good look or feel.
I tell you what, though, I didn't watch the entire game, so I can't speak on all of it.
Well,
but what I did see,
Sacramento
looks like they're trending in the right direction. I don't think they're going to be good this year.
Oh, they're getting there.
But they've got some players, and they're definitely trending in the right direction.
You. Here's the thing. I'm totally with you. For as much as this was a franchise that was just wallowing in mediocrity forever, you look at some of the guys that they have where they've really utilized their draft picks, and I never thought I'd say this, but Vlade Divac should get some credit as a general manager because when he came into the league, he was just happy to be there, and I don't think he was into the capologist strategy and analytics and all those things. But he's made some pretty good draft picks, and he's made some good trades. What they got from Cousins, Buddy Hield can play.
Yep.
You know,
he had 19 last night.
De'Aaron Fox from here, when this kid fills out, he is, as Bill Worrell would say, he's quick as a hiccup, but he's quick. He finishes at the rim with both hands. He can shoot it. Sal Labossiere from Kentucky, a one and done, that when he went into the league, everybody was like, oh, he's too young, he's too skinny, he's raw, he's not going to. He looks like he can play.
Willie Cauley-Stein played pretty well last night.
Willie Cauley-Stein is a couple tattoos short of really being a good player in this league. He's playing better and better.
He put up 20 and 10 last night. That's not bad.
No, not at all. And again, the new era of big men in the NBA is exactly what Willie Cauley-Stein is. He's not that big, bulky presence on the low block. He's versatile. He blocks shots. He's long, but he can also finish around the basket, and he can also get out on the break. They've got a nice little nucleus that they can build on now and really do some things, as opposed to some of the draft picks they've screwed up in years past that they had to sit there and watch get away. Ben McLemore comes to mind, a top 10 pick, and just completely crapped the bed. And you're like, that can set your franchise back. The guys they have now have them going in the right direction.
Speaking of big men and bulking up and all that, Capella is a lot thicker this year than you've ever seen him. He's definitely put on some muscle and some weight, and that's what you've kind of been waiting on. I think if you're the Rockets and this organization and the fans, you've been watching Capella, and he's been skinny, but he's been working out. He's as big as I've seen him. He looks like he's got some weight to throw around a little bit now.
You and Tommy Heinsohn weren't hanging around the showers, were you?
What?
You and Tommy Heinsohn.
I don't know what that
remember
means.
Remember when we played that clip of Tommy Heinsohn telling you how big their centers are in the shower?
But I mean, he's got some muscle. He's thicker. He used to be a skinny kid.
And he made his first 8 shots last night.
And he's 23. And so the fact that he's bulking up now instead of waiting just for it to be old age making him get fat and he's putting on some muscle is a good sign.
Look, here's the thing. When they had Hashim Thabeet, when they first got Clint Capella, even if they had an easy tag to a drive-through, there was the thought that you couldn't put weight on these guys.
Right.
But Capella has stuck with the system. He works his tail off. It's a contract year, and don't sleep on that as well, but he's finally starting that last kind of maturation process where he's filling out. His offensive moves last night were moves I haven't seen before. The jump hook either direction on the baseline, you know, floating into the lane and hitting a floating run. And here's the best thing yet. Bullard was talking about how he had worked on his free throws in the offseason. You go, yeah, Dwight Howard said the same thing. No. That ball now is not sitting on the palm of his hands. It's on his fingertips. It's rolling off easy.
Made both of them.
And he made them smooth and easy. I liked it. I think he's going to have a good year.
10 for 12 from the field. Had a block. 17 rebounds along with 22 points. That's a good game from Capella. Again, he's not facing the cream of the crop in Sacramento.
But you said it.
You still got to play. You still got to.
And Willie Cauley-Stein. Willie Cauley-Stein, right? 22 and 17 are great numbers. And here's the other thing. Harden, again, utilized the pick and roll and the alley-oop. You haven't really seen Chris Paul get comfortable with him yet. By midseason, when he's fielding alley-oops and high pick and rolls from both of those guys, he's going to be money.
Yep.
So that's big. And I noticed that D'Antoni went a little deeper into the bench last night, played nine guys. So he is delving into the bench a little bit. Granted, you know, not a whole lot. He's going to have an 8 or 9 man rotation, probably at best. But when that'll include Chris Paul eventually. But yeah, the way Eric Gordon's playing right now, and again, defensively, the National Network started to talk about it in the Golden State game. But you're going to see this more and more, regardless of what we end up calling them. But when you could put PJ Tucker and Luka Mbamute and Trevor Ariza on the three best players on the other team on the wing and in the backcourt, you can stop people now.
Yeah. I know we got to go to break, but on the other side, we can talk about, somebody asked, what do we think about Philly? How are they looking
two games in? Oh, yeah, I watched that game, too.
And can we talk about SportsCenter already giving Antetokounmpo the MVP? I saw a tweet that was like, oh, he said he could win the MVP this year. 37 points. I'm like, yeah, if you can get the MVP after one game, he gets it. Otherwise, can we just slow down a little bit? Can we just slow down?
This whole thing a few weeks ago where everybody was going to Kobe because Kobe gave a couple of NBA players what their goals should be, and then Antetokounmpo said, what should mine be? And he said MVP, and then that just took wings.
But, I mean, one game, really? SportsCenter? Just chill.
Just like all the people.
What he said to Gordon Hayward after his injury.
Yeah.
That was pretty nice.
That was really cool. JJ Watt retweeted that as well. We can get to that as well. So we've got a whole bunch to get to. We'll talk a little hoops as well. But two in the books, one to go. Plenty more of the big show. Please feel free to join us. 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.